Five, four, three, two, one, zero. All engine running. Liftoff. We have a liftoff.
Hello. Hello.
This is the Foul Mouth Podcast. Yo, what's up, everybody? We're here with the Foul Mouth Podcast, here with Jake, and we got our special guest on here, Robbie Flack.
What's up?
Here live from the Tailspin office, ready to kick off another podcast episode. Robbie has a boat. We've already gone over that. Everybody knows it. Boat's broken, though. So, Robbie, give us the update. You know,
broken before we even put it in the water.
It ain't a good update, yeah. But I'll give it to you. Well, so got the boat preseason a few months ago. Had no water to put it in to, of course, for the last few months. Finally, we're getting out to Oklahoma. Y'all touched on that.
Yep.
For the Oklahoma opener a couple weeks ago. I'm pulling the boat behind me. I'm pumped. We're going to get it in the water. We get to the boat ramp, back the truck up, go to start it. Nothing. Yeah. Like, it's not working at all.
Robbie was fortunate enough and unfortunate enough that my dad was there, who is a master mechanic.
Yeah. Scott, the legend mechanic, starts going to work on it. We tried just about everything you can do at the boat ramp. Then he changed the spark plugs. So it was idling. I won't go too much into it. It was idling, but it was dying as soon as I would give it any gas. Turns out, I don't think I've told you all this yet, there was water in the fuel line. Mm. And that was what was, I don't know how it got in there. But yeah, there was water in the fuel line. So that's why it was cutting out. So they cleared all the water out and they said it's running like a kitten. But purring like a kitten.
Yeah.
There
yeah,
you go. That's purring like a kitten. So it's running great. Problem is, the guy that I bought it from had broke the key off in the ignition, so it would still work.
What kind of motor is this again?
It's a Yamaha 40.
Yeah, four-stroke?
Four-stroke.
Okay.
Yep, so the key was broken off, but it would still work if you put the broken off key in mm-hmm. there. And so when I took it into the shop, I was like, hey, if y'all want to look at that, maybe try it. If you can get the key out, that'd be awesome. You know, if you can't, it's okay. I just mainly want to get it running. And then the guy calls me and says, hey, I got good news and bad news. The boat's running great, or the motor's running great, but when we tried to take the key out, we broke a tumbler off in the key box, and we're going to have to order a new one.
Is your boat is still attached to this motor right now?
Correct.
Right?
Okay. It's there. I haven't seen it. So we're 3 weeks later, and that part is still somewhere between Yamaha and
They shipped it from Japan. Man.
I told Jake when you told us that. I was like, you know, I said, if this was me and you, me and Jake, and we needed to get out, like a storm front was coming in, we'd be hot wiring that thing out there. We'd be like, give me my boat back. We don't need a key. We'll rub the wires.
If y'all know how to hot wire a boat, I will see you at the boat ramp Saturday morning.
Yeah. Let me tell you a little story about a 40 Mercury last year. And I kept thinking a solenoid was broken on it, but it was actually the neutral switch. And we literally ran two 10-gauge, or I think it was better. I think they were 8-gauge wires. They were thick, and we put wire nuts on the end of them. And you could reach down in there and unscrew the wire nuts and just tap those together. And, dude, the guy from the Coast Guard that saw me start my boat, he goes, man, that's cool, anti-theft. And I go, I'm not doing this because I want to.
I want to hotwire my boat every time.
Dude, take the cowling cover off.
Happened last year, opening weekend, and I went to like O'Reilly and got all those parts and stuff. Literally until I sold the motor, that's how I was starting it.
All that to say, still don't have the boat. The suspense is building. I'm so pumped to run that thing whenever it gets in. But we haven't really had any water to run on anyway, so missed too much. But hopefully we'll have it back this week at some point.
I'm so curious how fast that boat's going to run. Yeah. It's a nice boat.
We'll find out.
You know, I got the new,
looks great.
I got my motor sitting on mine, but it's about an inch sitting up too high. Really was shocked on how much it matters to have your motor setting at the right height level, like with the prop and shaft and everything on how the boat's. I couldn't even tell you the science of it. I can just tell you mine's off because we saw, you know, the boat's nose diving, you know, hard. So we need to fix that.
Bulldozing through the water. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, the matter of the difference on stuff like that. Like, even whenever I'm trimming my motor, if I put the gas can up front, so my Tohatsu stops automatically at like its highest trim level if you're under power. and stuff. And so I moved the gas can to the back with me back there, and I can trim it all the way out, and it's perfect. But if I move the gas can forward just a foot, the highest trim setting I can go under power is too high. And so basically the motor starts racing on the water. You know, you start getting those super high RPMs, lot of RPMs
and
power.
I'll put Big L in your boat and let her walk from the front to the back while we're just strolling down the river. You throwing your trim all out of whack.
Dude, L was riding in the boat. She, no joke, when we were in Oklahoma, she had her paws in front of my light bar while we were going like 35 miles an hour, and nice. and I had to slow down, and I'd go L, and she'd turn around and like walk back on the deck so I could let off the gas. I mean, like, because I was like, she's gonna go off. We've thrown her in the water before.
That was her own fault, you know, but it wasn't our driving. It was just she didn't pay attention. Well, what's the hunting plans coming up? Season's about to come back. It comes back on Saturday.
We're sitting between the first and second split for Arkansas. Yeah, we're in the
middle of the split right now. We went over last time that Hope wasn't looking too good the first split. You know, private guys maybe were getting them. We really weren't seeing many public guys. We know a couple groups that took our hole that did pretty good on a couple days, but some days didn't shoot anything.
But it's not a consistent deal here.
Not consistent. I've driven a lot of miles in Arkansas working back and forth over there. I'm not seeing a ton of birds. I had a guy who delivered some materials for our place yesterday and said that rain that came through brought a lot of water and a lot of ducks. So he said he's seeing ducks everywhere, but we'll see if we're seeing them where we're hunting. So Robbie,
rained what, one time?
One time
since the season closed.
It's rained one time, and better it's supposed than zero. It's supposed to rain Saturday, you know, afternoon time. So, Robbie, you coming down to the Econo Lodge?
Man, I'm excited. Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking this forward Friday. To it. We only got four bunks right now, so if we, you know, Saturday night we could have a full house. We're gonna be going over too. You won't be in time, but Friday night, me and Jake are gonna be over at Ethan Mathias's place,
the TN10 Duck Camp.
Duck Club, and
we'll be recording a podcast
and frying up duck poppers and some ice cold beer. Hopefully have a good time, get ready. They'll be beating them up on private. Hopefully we can find them. What's the game plan, Jake? If it's gonna be 15 mile an hour winds Saturday morning, hot, and a storm is on the way, cold front is coming behind the storm, do you think ducks are working timber in that situation? What's your thought? Or should you go to rice field if you have the option?
Man, I mean, if you're gonna be out there past, you know, anybody that doesn't hunt private, like, you know, you have to be off most of these public lands by a certain time, usually noon or one. If I had the option and I know I'm going to stay out there for a while, I'm going to hunt the rice field.
Going to hunt the rice fields.
But that's not
we don't have option. The option yet. Yeah.
So because you think the storm's going to hit like that 11, 10, well, 11, 12.
I think the ducks are going to know.
They're going to know
the rain's coming, storm's coming. Hey, I'm going to go get food.
Okay, because here's the thing. We clearly know that, me and Jake were talking about this earlier, a sunny, cold, windy day, ducks are working the timber.
Mm-hmm.
They're using the timber. Okay, well, we also know a really windy, stormy, rainy day, like, you know, rice fields and field hunting is typically good. Typically, you wouldn't think. But, I mean, most of the time, I feel like they're trying to get out of the weather a little bit. So you would think the timber would then be good again, but most people would say that you're hunting, you know, you'd be hunting a field during those conditions.
Here's what I think.
Because they also can't see. I mean, Cohen Wildlife thinks they can't see anything, which I don't believe.
I think Saturday, don't want to give my strategy away.
Mm-hmm.
I think Saturday is a bed down kind of morning. I mean, the rain's supposed to start about 10 o'clock. I'm thinking, we get out there. I mean, we're getting out there at 3
okay,
and 4.
Here's one thing I'm going to bring up, and I didn't bring this up earlier, Jake. Last time we hunted odd weather that we hadn't had much experience with, what were the ducks doing and going into?
Oh, thick.
The duck brush.
Thick duck brush.
So we hunt the channels near duck brush and try to get in that.
So my thought process is the birds are going to get up from the timber. So we clearly know, we've seen the sanctuaries and stuff. We clearly know that the birds are sitting in some timber areas for the most part, right, where there is water.
Well, the sanctuaries, some of the sanctuaries that we can see from the road
are dry.
Well, yes, but other sanctuaries that we can see from the road, what do they look like? And what I'm visioning in my head, duck you brush. Have real open areas and you got a bunch of duck brush.
Yes, but what I'm saying is those birds are getting up off there in the mornings. We watched them do it first split. They got up, went to rice fields, went and ate in the rice fields, you know, corn, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And then they probably just went back in the afternoon. I'm thinking that this heavy rain that's supposed to be coming in we stick it out, man. We stick it out to 10, 11 o'clock, whatever the latest that we can hunt is. I think it's going to heat up right before, because I think those ducks are going to get up out of those fields and they're going to come and want to sit down in the timber because they want to get in the cover because they know the storm's coming. They know that it's supposed to rain all day.
Robbie, when you got here, you said, do you know where we're hunting Saturday? And I was like, yes, exactly. And now after having these conversations, I'm here thinking maybe not. Maybe
are you second guessing?
I know where I'm hunting Saturday.
Okay, well I'm curious to see. Now, here's what I think.
We've got two options, and I think it's going to be a game time decision of option A or option B. And option A that we'd already planned on doing involves boat, and option B involves walking. And so,
the original option I feel like we talked about was we told you, right? Well, you're not going to need the boat. We're walking in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're walking in.
Okay.
And backup plan is if a walking spot's taken, then we're boating and going somewhere.
Okay. Yeah. That's
but I mean, we'll I mean, whatever. I mean, here's.
The, I don't want to give my whole schedule away.
Yeah. Now I'm thinking.
I don't need to ask any more questions from here.
Is that enough specifics?
Now I'm believing that we're just going to put the boat in the water. But here's the thing, though. Everybody knows it. That's going down. Maybe you're listening to this on the ride down. It's going to be packed house Saturday and Sunday because it's opening weekend again.
100%.
You know, the college kids are getting close to being out of school or just not going to school. And it's, you know, we've got some weather coming up. We've gotten a tad bit of rain, and what's the big kicker here is public guys can't go to the WMAs, so we're bottlenecked even harder into a few places.
I mean,
so we'll see everybody. But
I mean, how good are the WMAs? They're not pumping. They're already wanted to. I mean, we just talked about it. They already wanted to destroy the levees.
Right, but I mean, but there are water in some places. You know, I mean, and there's refuges sitting right beside it to hold birds. So like. But it doesn't matter. Even if it's not good, guys can't go there, so they're forced to go somewhere else or go private. And I'd say most guys hunting WMAs opening weekend don't have private land in their back pocket, or else they'd be there.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So everybody. So I think whatever crowd we saw last week, which you saw 12 guys at the boat ramp
on Thanksgiving Day,
I think there's at least that Saturday and Sunday when it's cold. There'll be at least that.
Yeah.
So that's exciting. We're going to try to beat them there. Robbie, if you come down late Friday night, you just drive straight to the boat ramp, and we'll just meet you over there in the morning and go ahead and hold down the line. You'll probably be like fifth or seventh.
Yeah, just go ahead and claim a spot.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I know for me, like I had family in town for Thanksgiving. There's no way I was getting up on Thanksgiving morning and being able to get the kitchen pass to go hunting. So
I mean he didn't.
If there was,
I saw him in there was that many guys myself, there, dude.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, more power to you.
I mean, right under the cell tower, man, I was watching Netflix. It was like, I told Denver today, I said, man, about 7:30, I finished the movie I was watching. I go, well, I guess I'm going to go to sleep. I was like, I'm the only person here. And you know I locked that door.
I know.
You know how I am.
Yeah. Hey,
I'm sure it'll be crowded. So with the second split opening and
just excited. Yeah, we'll hold everybody's still excited. I'm going to do a new thing. If plans align like they're supposed to, I'm going to get my duck stamp in Missouri and go hunt with a guy private land in Missouri. So I haven't duck hunted in Missouri before that I can remember. Dove hunt there every year. So
you better go ahead and you need to finalize your plan. But you remember we've been riding that hunter safety in lieu of hunter safety course in Missouri.
I put in mine because I emailed it or like printed it off when I did that with my old company forever ago. So like I got that underway. But I'm excited. I don't know where exactly my buddy's place is, but they got a cabin and everything. I'm gonna go up there and you know hopefully hunt and hopefully kill a few.
West Tennessee's been open, man. I had some guys message me the other day, you know, listeners of the podcast, forget what the dude's name was, but they live in East Tennessee, and he said, hey man, me and my buddy's thinking about coming to West Tennessee. You got any leads on any WMAs for us? And like I tell everyone, you can message me all you want, but I'm never going to be like, hey, go to this specific WMA. Yeah. And I said, you know, we don't hunt West Tennessee very much and stuff. And I told the dude, I said, straight up, this, once again, I'll drop this one because everybody knows it and you can't really just go hunt there. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, I'd pay for a guided hunt on real foot if it was me. And I was like, they seem to be smashing the ducks up there because there's low water. So I'm assuming because real foot A has a massive sanctuary on it, but because that's the biggest water in the area and really some of the only water in the area, I think the ducks are just flocking in there, man.
So would you go hunt a big lake in Arkansas?
Man, I don't know. Like, there's not
very... Do you want to go stand on the bank of a lake and shoot shoot at birds?
I don't, but at Real Foot, they have real blinds. Okay, like they have like blinds where you don't have to wear your waders. I thought you
wanted to stand next to a tree and kick water and call it mallards.
I do. That's not what I told this dude to do. I said, if it was me, I would take 2 days and I would just go on two guided hunts at Real Foot. I didn't give him a guide service because I don't know who you'd go with up there. But dude, they cook breakfast. I mean, it's
why wouldn't you just tell him to go to Arkansas?
Yeah, I would have said. He said they had driving across.
He said that they had been to Missouri and stuff. I mean, he was a young dude. I looked at his Instagram and stuff.
Well, he may not have the money to buy a Real Foot guide.
He definitely don't have the money to buy an Arkansas guide.
You should have sent him a couple pins, Jake. You know,
man. No, I'm going to drop him a pin to the Peabody lobby.
Here's the thing is it is hard. I do see so many poor souls asking, you know, does anybody got any advice? You know, and they're mainly talking about, is there water over here before I drop 7 hours of water over here? Well, we've all done that. We've told a million stories of how many places we've driven to find out there is no water. You can't get your boat in. Mm-hmm. We've done it.
We drove all the way to Kansas one time.
Yeah, guys even want to know, like, well, what's the water doing at this gauge? Like, that's just part of the homework that really nobody's willing to give out, because that's the only, you know, private secret information. And it's not even secret. It's all if you go out there and figure it out. But my advice to you guys is, there are places to hunt in Arkansas. You just got to go find it. Go look on a GFC website.
It's not hard to find a place to hunt. Hunting
like
is
public
harder.
Land. But I mean, here's the thing: for out-of-staters right now, you can't hunt any WMA, so you got to hunt an NWR or core land or just vacant
which,
land.
By
or
the way,
private land.
Read the regulations before you go.
Yeah, because there's a lot of regulations.
There's a lot of sanctuaries. There's a lot of places.
And the sanctuaries aren't pulling up on Onyx. For most people, like me and Jake's Onyx, looks different.
And we have the highest tier.
Yeah, we're side by side. His will pull up a sanctuary sometimes. Mine won't.
That's a really good point. I was actually looking at a place the other day, and I 100% knew that this was a sanctuary, and I was on Onyx. Nothing. Yep. Like if I didn't know that by the signs, like actually going in, like walking in and seeing the sanctuary signs, I would totally, and double checking the interactive map or whatever.
Yeah. Well,
I would have just walked in there and hunted the sanctuary.
For sure. Yeah. I mean,
probably
we've
been happy.
Done that. Yeah. I go through and add lines, you know, where the boundaries of the sanctuaries are, because there's a lot of just random ones. There's even things that have like just random, you know, one-off regulations. So you just got to read, you know, try to look for something that's not going to get you into trouble. Mm-hmm. But
I think that's another good reminder for me that there's just no substitutes for boots on the ground.
Boots on the ground, dude. We learned so much. I've scouted so much this off season of just walking around, you know, taking my boat places, just going and looking.
We've been fortunate that you've been able to go over there for work, really.
Yeah, I've been just looking around to try to find, you know, because we're finding things that, like, if you get out there and walk around, you're going to find a blowdown. You know, you're going to find when that storm came through last year, that little tornado and knocked trees down. Well, guess what? That made holes that aren't on Onyx right now.
They aren't going to be on Onyx for 3 years.
Yeah, they're not going to be on there for a little while, and things are going to change. And so, you know, anywhere a tree falls down, well, it's not going to look perfect because there's a down tree right in the middle, and you're not allowed to cut anything. But it's a new hole that has fresh food probably.
But that goes back to the concept of some of these guys that are hunting public land. I'm like, it's public because you're competing, right? And it's publicly available, you know, land. But you're hunting manicured holes. I mean, they dang near are freaking solid concrete on the bottom from people walking in them and stuff. There's all sorts of logs cut for you to sit on. There's literally benches in some of them.
Old nail holes.
Yeah,
old nails on the trees.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just like, why, you know, why even, you know, that's not really public land hunting. That's private land hunting with public access. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just completely different, but it's like some of these blowdown hole, man.
Yeah, like compared to NWRs that are unregulated.
Yeah.
Or they're unmanaged. Yeah, so there's no, you know, they're not really clearing stuff in there. And I found a lot of holes this summer that I'm walking in it and it's dry ground and there's briar bushes up to my neck, but the canopy's open. Like this is clearly a hole. If it had been on a private land or on a managed WNA,
those briar bushes would be out.
It'd been bush hogged, you know, it'd been cleaned up, and it'd still be a thing. And like some things I learned talking to guys, like, hey, you can still hunt this one, you know, like you just got to hunt it differently. You know, when the water gets up high enough, the birds will use the canopy to get down, and they're going to go land in the thicker, you know, hardwoods that's over there to the side. So like, it's just, you know, getting out there, like you said, you can't pay for the education you can get on boots on the ground. You just got to get out there and learn, and then watch ducks, and then go out there like we did and be like, dang, like, why aren't any of the birds using this right now?
Yeah.
You know, like, well, let's try this. Let's try that. I mean, right now, I don't think it's decoy spread. It's there hadn't been enough water for them to care. But so hopefully everybody, you know, the weather's not going to be that great Saturday, but Sunday and on, I think it should start. Hopefully it should start turning around.
Maybe I take the weights on my decoys.
Yeah. The heyday weights on the decoys, they're just too hard for me to take them in and out all the time.
I mean, we keep walking in. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I'm just going to take all the weights out of these. And I put my lighter rigs on them.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I literally probably took 7 to 10 pounds out of the decoys. And it was perfect. I was like, I can literally just tie them to my backpack. Don't even notice that they're there.
Yeah, why'd you leave the weights in the first place?
Because when you throw them, they won't tip over.
Yes.
You got to automatically.
So like,
manually tip them over.
So last year where we were hunting a lot, that was like a lot of open water and stuff, or deeper-ish water. You know, you'd throw them and it flipped over and you're like, frick, I got to like walk over there and fix it, which is the downside. And the guys at Heyday are like, oh, if you throw it like this. Well, man, I did try throwing it like that, JJ.
Yeah, and if we're hunting somewhere where we got a boat to pick up our decoys, you know.
Yeah. Right.
And so it is what it is. Now, if you put it on in a timber hole and you can place it right, it works really well without the weights, and they move a lot more.
Yeah,
without the weights. So I left the weights in 4 of them because I'm using those for the jerk rig. But other than that, everything I just took the weights out of.
Okay, starting on Sunday, this is for kind of middle of Arkansas area. Temperature's not going to get above 54. We got a lot of days in the low 30s, and we have 2 days with the rain, 1 day with the rain percentage being above 50%, and the other day it's like 37%. So 14-day forecast, we only have like one real day of potential rain. So still continue. Yeah, that's Saturday. So here's your Denver Hall weather forecast. You know, not much rain on the forecast. We got one hopefully good one Saturday, provide an inch or so, and then maybe some more will pop up. But the temperature should drop. So hopefully more ducks will. Because if it's dropping here, it's dropping further north. So we should get more pusha birds. We're not going to get any more territory for the most part. The territory we got.
Are there certain places that y'all look up north as far as where it's raining?
Yeah, look north? At the radar and see where it's snowing.
Yeah, I mean.
Well,
as
far as water levels on the Mississippi down here.
Well, it's really, I mean, anywhere from the Continental Divide, which is in Colorado.
Right.
You know, everything east of that. Rainwater trickles down into
the Mississippi. Yeah,
that's true.
So the Mississippi River gets water. Bear Grease did a podcast on this. They were talking about, I think it's like 40-something states, like 41 or 42 different states, or maybe high 30s, like 38, 39.
Not Hawaii, though.
No. Yeah.
Really?
No,
you
don't get Hawaii, you don't say. Hawaii and the Mississippi. all drain into the Mississippi River because like it has so many tributaries coming out from like the Ohio River, the Arkansas River, all this different stuff. Even the Colorado River.
Yeah, this half of the country needs a lot. It's really not even here. Like, we don't need a lot of water here. We need everywhere north of us to get tons of water.
Right.
You know, as we're seeing, like, some of these smaller rivers in Arkansas, you know, it may rain really hard one day, and it'll take 3 or 4 days, maybe even up to a week, for the rivers to reflect that water influx that we got. Mm-hmm. And so the Mississippi is just... I mean, you got to think about it. Where we're hunting on the, even just out there in front of Memphis, it's like, it's like 800 yards wide right there by the bridge. 800 yards wide. If you were out there on the boat right now, it's at -9 compared to where we were hunting a couple of years ago at 30, even just 30 feet. You know, it's a 40 foot, like you would,
that's wild.
From the water level, you go 40 feet straight up and then 1,000 yards wide.
What did we say? We said, take your tape measure and go stand straight up.
Yeah, stand straight up. That's 40 feet. That's 40 feet from the water level. That's where our boat would be. And then you multiply times 1,000 yards wide.
Yeah.
And then, you know, 50 miles stretch right there. Think of how much water that is.
Like, yeah, that massive water footprint.
Water, that is insane.
So we get water from, like, I think it's 4 of, what do they have in Canada? Providences, right? They've got 4 different, like 4 of the Providences in Canada drain to the Mississippi River. Mm-hmm. And so that's why in May the water gets so high. That's typically whenever the high water marks are. It's usually right around 1st of May, end of April and stuff. And it's because the snow caps mm-hmm. are melting.
Yeah.
And so all this massive water inundates the river and stuff. And it just backs up. Also, whenever there are hurricanes in the Gulf, right around New Orleans, it backs water, backflows mm-hmm. water into the Mississippi, and it builds up.
Or just swells. Mm-hmm. And so you have all these other rivers, you know, like the White and the Arkansas and the Obion and, you know, the Missouri and all these other rivers, their bottom river water table is so low because the Mississippi, whatever it is, that last end of that river is not going to just have a, it can't get up and swell because it's draining. So like the bottom's running out. So it really, the Mississippi really affects all rivers, you know, all major river systems, you yeah. know, the smaller ones can flux, like creeks can back up and flood up. Like that's some of the things we were seeing a few weeks ago were creeks, were freaking creeks flooded that had ducks on them, you know? So it's things, just a little rain can just produce water places and ducks are going to yeah. find them. That what you'll need to know, Robbie, is what we were talking about on the way over here, is when we do have a year where the river is going to be out, get your boat ready because I'm going to go by a bar, like not a barge, but what's it called? A houseboat. Like a 30-foot, 40-foot okay. long houseboat. We're going to have to put it in.
Tailspin Duck headquarters.
Yeah, headquarters on the river for the season. Jake punched a lot of holes in it as far as like anchoring it out there or tying it up to a tree.
Legalities.
Yeah, because if you tie it up to a tree off a vacant island, trees fall off the bank all the time. You know, and you yeah. can't just put an Apple air tracker on it.
You might wake up in Louisiana.
Well, no, you may be, if we go home, because if we took it from Memphis, you know, we're going to be 50 miles up or, you know, 75 miles either upstream or downstream from Memphis. So if we're anywhere in that time, going 75 miles on the Mississippi River on a 40-foot houseboat would take
at least a day,
you know. So like we're talking at least, so you know, we can't be moving all that. A day.
And it's gonna, we're gonna start when it's dark, and we're gonna end when it's dark, and there will be daylight between them.
But like if we get down to an area where we like to hang out, we'll anchor the boat behind an island out mm-hmm. of the current. And then you'll have your boat tied up to the barge. Jake will have his, mine, and all of our freaking buddies that have a boat will link up. They'll dock up on the party barge. And then we'll go venture off and go scout during the daytime. Look,
we've got Starlink. We got Elon Starlink, man. We're going to be rocking Netflix and putting out podcasts. Yeah, be watching freaking college
games, I mean, out there. Dude. Yeah. It's going to be phenomenal.
This is the seed of an incredible idea. I can feel
it's
it.
It's the seed of
yeah. We'll figure all that stuff out.
It's the seed of a newspaper article on how we all died.
Yeah, how the party barge sank and they couldn't get out of it. You know, doors were locked, you know. So yeah. But I mean, the concept is great. The flaws are getting it in the river, mm-hmm. getting it down there.
Basically, you have a boat, everything's boat a problem. Fall except for the idea.
Well, you get on the Mississippi and it's, you know,
everything gets amplified.
River. Everything's amplified. Yeah.
The water, especially if the water's at 20 feet or higher, like it gets amplified.
Yeah. That's what we were saying. Like when I was out running the boat the other day, talking about currents on rivers, I was on the Wolf over here and it's not very big and it's at like 2.5 feet. Well, the current and these smaller streams, honestly, I think is more dangerous than current in a bigger, mm-hmm. you know, especially because yeah. you can have one or two trees falling down, it blocks the whole river. And if you have a larger boat like mine, you can't get turned around and move fast enough. Like I got washed into, I'm using my hands cut up. It was because the tree was trying to push me off the boat with the current. It was
What's your wife and Dang. Kid on there at
yeah,
the time?
Yeah, so my wife and kid was on there. She was like, she goes, I just can't believe y'all even make it back every time y'all go. I can only imagine what it's like out there with y'all.
Did you tell her that we don't make it back sometimes?
Yeah, I said, this is exactly how Elle would have fallen off the boat in this scenario. But it wasn't dangerous, but it's definitely how people can get caught up in situations if you panic or if you don't know what to do with your boat. That's why it's good to like have so much experience with your boat, because you need to know what to do in that situation. Because if you fall off where there's a good current and there's like a tree blocking you, like you're gonna get stuck, or not worst case, but your dog falls out, you know. Then I feel like the dog,
I think we all know what the worst so case much
problems
is. Yes,
because your dog gonna fall, you're gonna try to save your dog, and then that's gonna be a mess, you know. It's just a big
Robbie. Mm-hmm. What you should take from this whole experience is nothing that Denver just said, but he told me this the other day. We have great news. As we age, we have a whole runner.
Yeah, that's right.
In the family. Tell us about that.
I didn't want to be that dad that's sending, you know, like I would have sent it to you. You'd have got more appreciation for it. Cause mm-hmm. I didn't want to send it to Jake because Jake didn't have his, you know. And so, but it was, we went out on the Wolf and I was letting my son, he wanted to, you know, he's dangerous like me, and he wanted to sit back there, and I was like, hey, teaching him. I mean, he's only like 2.5. I was like, teach him, like, yeah, you pull this throttle right here. Nice. And he figured it out real quick. And so he's sitting in my lap, and he was pulling at full speed, and we were popping up on plane, you know, getting to 30 miles an hour real quick. And I'd have to, you know, and he's just laughing so hard, I'd have to pull him back off of it. But I was, after that, I told, Caitlin took a video, I was like, told Jake, I was like, hey, you know, maybe 12, 13 years from now, we're going to have us a whole runner. We're going to put him out there. You know, Jake said he'll sell his boat for a good deal. We'll put a 59 CI on there and let him go run the whole course.
That's
we'll
what I told him. I said,
he'll weigh like 80 pounds.
I said, me and Denver are going to be like,
oh, he's my kid. He'll weigh
oh, yeah, he'll weigh more than 80 pounds. Man, I told Denver, I said, hey, man, I said, me and you, I said, we'll spring for a 59 CI. We'll get it built, and we're going to put a tachometer on there, and I'm going to tell Sutton, hey, man, if you go over this, okay, and it blows up, that ain't my problem, okay? This is now your problem, and you got to fix this. And because my boat will roll with 5.9 CI on there, and we'll be good to go, man. Yeah, I'll buy me a Prodigy, and we'll be happy.
Because we can send him out there, because now I feel like we're getting to the age, Robert, we won't publicly say your age here on the podcast, but when we were out there, I'm seeing these guys that are holding down the front of the lines.
How old are you, Robert?
He said we could...
37.
He's
always 37. I know you're shocked, but yeah, age don't lie. It's just a number.
Hey, I know. I mean, Robbie is also the most jacked person at this table right now, too. Yeah. Though he's easily in way better shape than both of us, but a long shot.
He'd be the whole runner, physical runner. But yeah, it's we'll get there, you know. I mean, I'm not going to get into Robbie's shape. I just don't have that figure style, you know.
I mean,
he's like slim guy.
Robbie fits the sick waiters.
We're big guy trying to be lean. That's harder.
He looks good in the sick waiters.
I just work out in off season just so I can eat whatever I want during the season.
I look like a can of biscuits you left sitting on the shelf for 2 days in sick waiters.
Robbie's a big Sitka guy. He's got a Sitka. You know, you're on the Sitka. I don't think it's not called Pro Staff. It's something else, right? I mean, or is it Pro Staff? I feel like they have like the whatever Seth Dorch is, and then they have what, you know.
Yeah,
you
they've got a yeah, Seth, I'm not. They've got whatever Seth Dorch is, and they have Robbie Fleck.
Whatever.
I'm not at that level.
Yeah, but you know, you got a promo code with them. Is it through More Than a Calling and stuff, or what is it?
Yeah, pretty
okay,
much.
So Robbie's a big Sitka guy, always has a head-to-toe Sitka gear, base layers, the whole nine.
He has a Sitka jacket on right now.
Yeah, he has a Sitka jacket on right now.
Yeah, literally, I can't like argue with you jacket. About
this is
any
just
of
like
this.
A casual going around Sitka jacket. Do you think you will ever consider making the shift to Shin?
Ooh, that's a good question.
You've seen our stuff. You have seen our stuff.
I have
now.
Seen it.
Yeah.
Have I've you been tried around on a little bit. Waiters? I have not tried on the waders. Okay. They look look pretty similar, but I've not tried them on. I do
like
love my
they were made
waiters.
For guys our size. They, yeah.
Do you have the earth pattern waders?
No, I have the timber pattern.
The timber pattern, okay.
They definitely are a little more form-fitting than what I've seen from Shin, but so that favors y'all. But no offense.
Yeah, Shin was made for the big old
man,
boy.
Man, I'm not gonna lie, it would be hard to switch at this point
because you're just so invested in all your gear.
He is very invested. Yeah. I'm about to sell all my Sitka stuff.
What if
when
the time comes and your waders, you need to buy a new pair of waders, either worn out, have a hole or something. Will you automatically just order another Sitka pair, or will you take that moment to consider, okay, maybe I need to look, maybe I need to test it out?
That's a good question. I mean, well, hopefully I don't have to cross this bridge for a hot minute. This is my starting fourth season.
Okay.
I have the original, so I have the first year that they came out. I have those. They don't even have the zipper on the front.
Really?
Which is kind of annoying, but... so I have the OGs. They've done pretty well. I did get
thing to go wrong, by the way.
I did get new boots on them last year, okay. So that helped.
How much? What was that process like?
It was honestly great. After the season, I had a slow leak in the back of my heel where the wader and the boot connected. Mm-hmm. So I would get somewhat wet every time I went hunting. I sent them in. So you just email them or fill out the form on the website. Send them in. Probably took 3 weeks.
Do they charge you anything for that? Mm-mm. Really?
No, it's okay. Free shipping both ways.
Yeah.
Totally
so
free.
So you would say customer
service. Brand new boots.
And your experience has been great.
Yeah. Sitka's incredible at their customer service. Nothing but good things to say about them. So yeah, that side is really helpful. Obviously, I did have to send them in. It's not ideal, mm-hmm. but I'd used them for 3 seasons.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And they've held up really well. So, I mean, I wouldn't say that if I could – I mean, I love the colors of some of those like solid colors that Shin has, which are cool. Obviously, Sitka's got those too.
You went to the film festival with this.
Yeah.
After going to something like that, does that help? Does that kind of, you know, tug on you a little bit to go, does that change your opinion on buying a product from one place to the next?
I will say, if I had to start over right now and had nothing, no gear, I think the fact that they're a local company, the fact that, not that I know the guys that run it, but I, you know, kind of know of them, know that they're good dudes, I would probably go ahead and go with Shin.
Yeah.
And I'd just start there and invest. I just like the idea of being, you know, brand loyal. So
that's
attractive to me, but.
That's saying something coming from.
That's the first time I've ever said anything like that.
Did you go into their like shop part when we were at the film festival?
No, I got there late. I didn't really get to go shop around too much. But
I'm about to order their neck gator. It's probably the cheapest thing they have in the store. It's like $35, but it looks nice.
Emily and I were walking through there, and I said, "Yeah, man, you know what do you think about these waiters and stuff?" She goes, "Oh, these, you know, the kind you have and stuff." And she goes, "Yeah," and she flips that price tag around, and she just shows me. Excuse me? And I was like, babe, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I was like, you know,
quality. I'm not. And then I go, how many pairs of waders did I buy last year? Two. Yeah. I was like, how many pairs of waders did I buy the year before that? One.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm constantly having to buy waders around here. I was like, I'm not going to have to buy waders after I buy these waders, at least for a while.
Yeah.
You know.
Dude, speaking of that, the other day I'm driving down Poplar Avenue in Memphis, and it's at night, and this guy in a truck pulls up next to me, and he has his window rolled down, and he's yelling at me he's signaling to roll my window down. And so I roll the window down, and he's like, Sitka sucks! Because I have a Sitka sticker on the back. He's like, Sitka sucks! It sucks. Should have got Shin waiters. And he blows by me. And sure enough, he's got a Shin sticker on the back.
No way. That's
100%. 100%. Do you know how many times I've just randomly seen somebody wearing Sitka stuff? Yeah. And I'm like, hey, man, Sitka sucks. You know, which is, you know, now I've said it, but it's just funny.
That's hilarious.
You know what's way more fun, though, is if you had Sitka stuff before Shin came out, right? Before Shin.
Which
came
I did.
Out, and you had Sitka stuff before then, you couldn't see a guy wearing Drake. Sorry, Ethan Mathias. I know you're gonna listen to this. Hate to hate on you or something. You couldn't see somebody wearing Drake or just something other brand and be like, oh yeah, man, you know, Drake sucks, Sitka's better, because Sitka was so much higher of a price tag than those options, right? And now I feel like it's way more fun because the Shin and the Sitka guys can yell at each other because
that's true. The same you paid price. Basically the same amount.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Speaking of Drake, have y'all kind of seen their new marketing?
Did you see they were on game day? They were like, yes. Hey, if you hold up a Drake sign and you get on TV, we'll send you free waiters.
I know you told me about that, but I personally didn't see it. I mean, I don't know much.
I thought you had on a Yale t-shirt, a Yale college t-shirt. And I go, when did you get a Yale t-shirt?
I didn't know you were so much smarter than all of us.
That's a weird flex right now.
Vail, Colorado, flexing.
That's where you got your biology degree?
No, I didn't get a biology degree. But I didn't see the Drake stuff. I don't really keep up with much Drake. I don't even know if I follow them on Instagram to even look at any of their kind of stuff.
They're in my algorithm.
Well, there you go.
They're my algorithm because of Ethan.
Yeah,
it's really the problem. Ethan, you know,
he brings Drake up every time.
Does he?
we asked Ethan. He'll get a kick out of this. He'll text me about this. We asked him if he wanted to go to the Shin Film Festival with us. Man, I don't know. If somebody takes a picture of me and Drake sees me there, I may get in trouble. And I was like, bro, you were.
I called him afterwards. I was like, I'm pissed that my wife didn't go, and I'm pissed that you didn't go. And I said, next year, I don't give a crap who you're with. You better be there, because it's just as a duck hunter
as a,
you know, just a evangelist for the duck world, you know, and for ducks, it was such a great event.
It was so much fun. I mean, plus he would have loved those
ate it up, dude. If you're into that thing, you eat that stuff. I ate it up. I was I was hyped.
It was so good. So
funny. I thought it was funny how he approached that situation for us.
It's good to old Matthias. Go listen to his podcast. I messed it up last time. You said the name of it.
It's called Not Your Average Hunter. Podcast.
Nice.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Check it out.
Yeah, we'll probably come up with an episode here with them soon. We're at their camp. We'll see how many beers we have and what kind of inspires from that.
So. Last time, dude, we started super late and we just It was a rough year.
It was fun because it was you know, he's a private land guy, and like, you know, there's all this, like, you have the oozers versus the in-staters, and then you have now everybody versus AGFC, and you also have private versus public. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's a lot of you know, everybody.
You got mud motors versus outboards.
You
got four stroke versus two stroke. I mean, it just that you know
now
what?
You got Shin versus everybody.
Shin versus Sitka, Sitka and Shin versus everyone else. Basically, the rich versus the poor. You know, it's a tale as old as time. You know,
it's all that is part of the fun. I mean, the fact that that guy yelled that. I mean, that's honestly, like, I would kind of like
you
to
never.
Know that guy.
Oh, I would totally like go have a beer with that. Dude,
yeah,
right now,
yeah,
you
like
know, because
like
it would
you'd
be
probably
awesome.
Become friends.
Yeah, like, absolutely. Like, great. All you can do is just laugh and be like, yep.
Yeah, that's just hilarious. I love that. But that, I think also, too, that shows, like, a testament to how tied Memphis is to being a duck hunting, you know, kind of community. Like, it's not like a community like that, but there's so many duck hunters. Yeah.
Well, I mean, we just went out tonight. We went to Booyah's in Carterville, and I was joking with Denver. I said there was a duck sticker on the cooler, like, or the refrigerator at Booyah's.
What did it say?
And, it's called Dick 'em Down Waterfowl and a DIK. And so
the guy was out as was
yeah,
talking about,
yeah, the
oh,
guy was talking about
morning.
Hunting stuff. But I told Denver, I said, we usually, when he and I like go to a bar or something together, we're in Arkansas. So like we see a duck sticker.
Yeah, me and Jake just, aren't just going to the bar. And
yeah. We don't go to the, yeah, it's usually only when we're, it's just me and him in Arkansas and stuff. And I was like, I didn't even think about there being a duck sticker right there. Cause that's something I would point out like everyday conversation or whatever. But the guy behind the bar was talking about duck. He went this morning and because he was hunting in Tennessee.
Draw blind.
And they had all, you know, they didn't do
shout out to
well,
the bartender at Booyah's. Yeah.
What was his name? Joe?
I don't know. I heard somebody call him Jake. I thought I heard somebody call him Brandon too. So I don't know.
Who knows?
But yeah, it's they hunted the draw blind system in Tennessee, which, or they hunted down at Eagle
he
Lake Refuge.
He said they shot a ton of wood ducks. They limited out on wood ducks, but he said the guys further over from us, they were banging on them. And let me tell you, my guess is that those guys were shooting at wood ducks too, based on what he was saying and how many ducks they didn't see. And I was like, those guys were also shooting at wood ducks, and 100%. They suck at shooting, and you thought that they were banging on them.
Yeah, that's very possible. I mean, that is the thing we were talking about, guys that don't know, like, about Arkansas duck and like, oh, I just need to go to draw blind. Always hear y'all complaining about how crowded it is. They just need to have a draw system or something like
that. We talked about this last episode.
Yeah, disaster, you know, because the draw thing's a freaking disaster. So, and it, that unlike that guy, here's prime case. We got to experience a guy who's like, man, that hole, they did great, but all, this is the only hole.
I think the problem with the draw blind system, too, in Arkansas is you're allowing, at that point, the private land hunters to encroach on the public land hunters even more. So like
they're going
to
go take
a
hole.
So we look at how many people are going to the WMA now, right? And you go, okay, so I'm competing with one of 400, right, or 500, right? Well, no, you're actually one of 2,000 because there's 1,500 private land guys that didn't go there that all know that they can
they
put
may,
in
yeah.
for that.
Also
they're
put
like,
in.
Hey, man, it's a computerized system. Why would I not put in?
Speaking of that, I sent you the link.
I would not even mention it on this podcast.
Well, there you go. Go ahead and look it up for yourself. I mean, you're going to be putting in, you're going to be putting in a draw for that?
Yeah, I don't want all of our listeners to.
But are you
I like y'all, but I want to kill ducks.
Are you going to put in a draw for that?
Absolutely.
There you go. Well, it's a mystery. Go look it up for yourself. But
you can figure it out.
Yeah, it's not hard. There's only one thing.
I like y'all. I hope y'all smash them. I hope y'all kill ducks. Less competition on any draw systems, better for
me. Yeah, we'll see. You know, so you're going to go to Missouri. They have 15 managed WMAs. You're going to go put in on there.
Okay. No, because you have to show up at 4 a.m. to draw or whatever time in the morning to
draw. Think about how many people don't do that because of it. So you could, no, there could not be very many people there. Because
yeah,
like,
but I don't
that.
Like the draw system per se, because if I go all the way to Missouri and they're like, okay, you're hunting this hole right here. Well, like, dang, why couldn't I get that hole right over by the sanctuary?
You didn't draw that, obviously.
Yeah, so I'm in this crappy hole that doesn't have any water in it. You know, we're freaking dry field hunting
managed.
In the middle of the woods.
It should have water in it because it's managed that way. Because they don't, the trees in Missouri aren't affected by water in the wintertime.
Oh, that's wild. Trees, yeah. Isn't that crazy? That's crazy, man.
Yeah, so.
I can't imagine that.
Yeah, well, we're going to wrap it up here. It was a good time. Robbie, thanks for coming out, as always.
Man, always good to be with y'all.
We'll be hunting them hard this weekend.
Always in the shenanigans somewhere, yeah. You know.
The shenanigans.
I see what you did there.
Wait till you see. We'll be on shin lodges here before too long. But anyways, guys, we'll see you at the ramp or the walk-in spots. One of the two. We'll catch y'all here soon.
Yep. Catch y'all at the ramp. Peace.